Come and turn to Psalms chapter 12. Psalms in chapter 12. Brother Mike, am I on? All right. Psalms in chapter 12. Still not used to that. I'm used to digital. All righty. Psalms chapter 12. We're going to begin reading in verse number 1. And just for sake of time, I'm not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to read verse 1, and then we will skip down to verse number 8 for now. The Bible says this: "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." Go down to verse number 8. It says this: "The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted." The wicked walk on every side when the vilest men are exalted. My thought really comes really from the whole chapter, honestly. I'm focusing in there on that first phrase: "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth." But in focusing on that, verse 8 really stuck out to me too. Really with our times. I'll get there in a moment. From the guys I've read after, they say this psalm was written most likely when David was in the courts of King Saul. If you can put yourself back in that time, here is David, a young man at that time that was purposed to serve God with all his heart, I believe. He had his direction already set. He's going his way with God. At this point, I believe he's already got a very strong, thriving relationship with God. And he gets here, if these writers are correct, and this psalm was written then, he gets here to the courts of King Saul, and he finds out that, guess what? Not everybody has the same desires that he has. He gets in a place where they should have been religious. If you would realize, all these people would have been Jewish. Very religious nation. But also, coming from into the time of King Saul, where do we come from? We really had just transitioned from the time of the judges, when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I kind of wonder if maybe some of that mentality wasn't still prevalent even in Saul's day, as David is coming here into the courts of King Saul. But as he begins looking around, he has a desire to serve God, to please God with all his heart. But he begins seeing all these other men in places of leadership maybe, those that he's constantly rubbing elbows with, those maybe in the military, but everybody he gets around, he realizes all of a sudden that all these godly men that want to do something for God, men that want to go the right way for God, they're slowly disappearing off the scene. And as he begins to look around, I think he begins to see the lack of godliness in all the rest of those coming on. And I think it begins to bother him on the inside. And so then we come to this place where he writing this psalm, and almost like it's a prayer to God. And we find him saying, "Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth, for the faithful fail from among the children of men." My challenge this evening is really geared it's towards everybody, but especially towards the young men tonight. This thought's been on me for a little while. We could go through a lot of things. He gives, a character sketch of these men. They've got mouth problems. They don't talk right. The things they talk about, it's all showing what's really in their heart. We could say they've got heart problems, because the Bible says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And I know I'm going fast over some of this. I've got a place I believe God wants me to get to. They've got pride problems. That's another thing he points out in this chapter. They will not submit to authority. That's another thing he sees from these men. They're very self-focused, self-centered, and nobody's going to tell them what to do. They've charted their own course. They've got the way that they're going to go. We see it begins talking in verse number 6 about the oppression of the poor and the sighing of the needy. I believe these ungodly men, they are oppressing God's people, if you'll just give me the liberty to say that. All these things he finds as he's just watching these men around him, he starts seeing this in their life, and he realizes that there is a lack of godly men. If I could put it this way, especially for us young men, we are growing up, really all of us, we're coming up here in a generation where there's very, very few godly men, godly women, godly boys, and godly girls. You know how I know that? Because as you look around, you see that most people have absolutely no desire for the things of God. A person that's godly has something on the inside that wants to be with God's people and wants to be doing something for God. But when I look around and I see young people talking about everything under the sun except for God's things, something in my heart gives up a red flag and says, hey, what's the matter with them? Why is it that there is no desire for God in their life? Where are the godly men? Where's the godly young people coming up that's ready to take the baton from the last generation? Where are the people willing to go on for God and make a difference, take a stand for God? I don't see them coming up. I'm afraid we find ourselves in the same place David did. We're looking around and we're having to say, help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. Who's coming up to take the next generation on? I believe we could say another thing about these men. They have no depth to them. It is surface spirituality that you see in most people today. They look spiritual on the outside. They know how to talk the talk. But very rarely are they walking the walk behind the scenes. You know what it is? That they're painting a picture. On church they look one way. But outside the church and outside of God's house, they want nothing to do with God. They're going in an entirely different direction. I don't understand it. It's just like what it, I believe it's Timothy that says that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Young people, godliness is not something that is always readily on the outside. You know, godliness is not an action. Godliness is a character quality. Godliness is something that starts in the heart and works itself outwards to what you do and to how you look. And when there's issues with the outside, I promise you it means there's an issue on the inside. Something on the inside is different than God. You do not have the character qualities of God in you. It's just surface spirituality. There's no depth to them. May I say this, there's no determination that they're going to live for God either. These men we see here in verse number 4, it says, who have said with our tongue, will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? They're not going the way that God's commanded. They're not following God's ways. Instead, they're going their own way, charting their own course. They want nothing to do with God. There's a lack of godly men. There's no dependence on God. One of the most important things for us as young people, especially coming up, but really all of us, young people, old, I don't care. One of the most important things that if we can get a hold of, God could still use us, I believe, is if we'll realize that we are absolutely, totally dependent on God alone. We have no strength in and of ourselves. We cannot do one single thing for God without God doing it through us. I want to know where the godly men. Where are the godly men? If you were to turn to Ezekiel in chapter 22, you'd find God said this, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should destroy it not. But here's what he had to say, but I found none. I'm kind of going to depart from my outline here. I'm not going to have time to deal with some of the rest, but I've got something on my heart. It's been on me for a while. That last verse, number 8, it says, when the wicked walk on every side, when the vilest men are exalted. Now, I'm not getting political at all. Please do not mistake it as that. But I'm telling you, we have seen some very wicked people placed in leadership positions very recently. And the things that they are signing, the things that they are trying to push into law are going to eventually have a trickle-down effect, I believe, to where we are. And we are fixing to see persecution on a much more real level than I believe we have ever seen it. And here is my burden, especially for you young people. Some of you have not yet made up your mind if you're going to go with God or not. You're still hanging in the balances. Let me tell you something. If you wait till you're put under pressure to make a decision to go for God, I promise you, you're not going with God. You will take the path of least resistance. God is looking for some men. We need men. The world does not need another other men with a lot of learning, men with political influence or power or wealth. It does not need more bench warmers. This world needs some young people, some young men that have a hold of God, that aren't going to let go, that God's got a hold of, that God can use to take a stand now. We've got to take a stand now. Our time is running out. Issues are coming. Sodomy is one of the big ones. There is an act, I believe, that Biden has already signed. It's called the Equality Act. It's basically a transgender rights bill, which makes anything that goes against them a hate crime. I promise you, if this comes trickling down, there are going to be men of God beginning to be thrown in jail. They're already throwing preachers in California in jail for just having church. It's going to eventually trickle down. This is my burden tonight. Where are the young people that are willing to say, I'm going to serve God, I'm going with God, no matter what, I will be that godly man. There's only one way you'll get it, and I'm through with this. There's three things I believe we have to have if we are going to be able to stand when that comes. Number one is prayer. The first thing you see David saying when he encounters a world that is totally against him is, help, Lord. If we were to go to verse 6 and 7, it begins talking about God's Word. If I can just put it this way, we must have a biblical mindset if we're going to go on with God. Forget what the world says. Forget what is socially acceptable. Forget what is politically correct. You just got to take what the Bible says and stand for it. Stand on it. Don't bend it. Don't bow. Just go on for God. And lastly this, you have to have a made up mind now. There is a reason Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. There's a reason he said, choose now. Because if you put it off now, you probably aren't ever going to do it. My challenge to you tonight is, where are the godly men? And are some of you willing to make the commitment to finally say, you know what, I give up. It's all about God. I surrender to God. Would you be willing just to say, God, I'll be that godly man. God, I'll be that man that will stand in the gap. It's my burden tonight, Pastor.